here we are with Mikey Michelson. You still go by Mikey, by the way?
No, you use that, but I go by Mike generally.
Didn't Tommy Thompson call you Mikey or something?
He called me a lot of things, Mitch.
Oh, I understand. But I go to Mike because he's firmly on the right. Is that fair to say? I mean, you're a guy that's on the right.
I
mean,
I'm firmly planted to the right of most people.
Maybe not. You know, you're not in the fringe. I wouldn't put you in the Klan. I mean, no, not that far right. Not David Duke right, but as far right as you can be and still be respectable.
I'm a traditional conservative Republican.
Well, I mean, but you had Goldwater. He was supposed to be the extreme.
Well, he was an economic libertarian is what he was.
But so he wasn't really extreme in hindsight.
I would argue today he would be kind of in the mainstream. Maybe at that time he was a little more extreme than many, but economic liberalism libertarianism is pretty common these days.
Right. So, but at that time, people like Rockefeller and Mitt Romney's dad, George, and the others were saying that Goldwater was extreme.
Correct. I think the biggest difference today is more on the social side, where for both parties, you have to have certain positions or certain understandings of a lot of social issues, and that's just the only way it works.
Well, the Republican Party, going back to Reagan in 80, sure, we had horrible interest rates and inflation and hostages were overseas and that stuff, but yet the moral majority, Jerry Falwell, that was a big part of that election.
It was, and that's where the social conservatism came and became a big part of the tent that is the Republican Party. You had the Goldwater era, the 60s, early 70s, where it was all about economics, and slowly but surely we got out of the impact of the war, the Vietnam War, and we moved into this era where we are now, where it's both fiscal and social is what the tent is that is the Republican Party. If you look at our party, we have more pro-choice Republicans than the Democratic Party has pro-life Democrats.
Yeah, pro-life Democrats, you think of the guy from Indiana, Joe somebody, I can think of his last name, the senator, but not very many. I just talked to a local guy that ran for lieutenant governor who's pro-life. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, there's been a narrowing of the party platforms, right, in recent years?
I think that's true, but I would say this. I think right now, if you looked at the two parties, the Republican Party does have a bigger tent in terms of what we accept, in terms of positions on issues.
Well, give me a pro-choice Republican in the last presidential race.
In the presidential race, there were none.
There were none, right?
That's correct. I mean, there were none.
None out of 17. I mean, come on, that's...
That's correct. But we have a lot of Republicans in state and congressional offices that are pro-choice. Keep in mind, we have a lot of Republicans that have the three exceptions, which not all pro-life groups support. So again, you have a broader perspective. Look at that. Take a look at the Democratic Party on the issue of abortion. If you are pro-life, you cannot be a Democrat. You
can't be a speaker at the convention. That's for
correct.
Sure. But look, Harry Reid said he was pro-life. You know, he's Mormon from Nevada, but I'm not sure how hard he worked at it. But David Bonnier was legitimately pro-life.
Nancy Pelosi is Catholic. Nancy Pelosi is Catholic. That does not make her pro-life.
No. That's different because Tom Harkin's Catholic. He was pro-choice. Same with Mario Cuomo. There are pro-life. David Bonnier, the former House Minority Leader back in the day, right. He was pro-life.
Correct.
He really was. And there were people like that, but you're
Sam
right.
Sam Nunn, you had a number of pro-life Democrats that also were very strong on military issues. Try to find a Democrat today that you would say is along the lines of Sam Nunn in terms of being pro-military.
Well, I couldn't think of any, off the top of my head, but, you certainly have had them over the years, maybe the ones in the South, but the ones in the South have all turned into Republicans. That's, by the way, when Dinesh D'Souza does his movies about how the racist Democrats in the 1800s and stuff and how it's a myth that these people changed parties. No, whole states changed parties. I mean, Alabama is not a Democratic state anymore. It used to be.
Well, we grow. That's the great thing about being an American is that you can have a position.
You and I have grown a lot by it.
We've grown. We bought bigger coats. It's a little less noticeable, but nonetheless.
Coats are important.
But you know what? When we grow in size, that also means we are growing in stature.
Oh, I see. Well, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, you know, when Ben Carson and Dinesh were saying it's a myth that these people change parties because there are only 18 people. Hey, whole states change parties.
Yeah, and Mitch, that's, you know what it is. It's people in America can actually evolve. We are evolving on a lot of issues.
And
let's be honest.
Mike,
there was a time in the 70s where, yeah, being pro-life was not very popular. You were kind of in a small group. But as we've seen through the 80s into the 90s and now the 2000s, the American populace has become very pro-life. And
really?
That's just a fact.
It's more, what, 60, 40?
Oh, it's easily 70, 30 on a lot of
70,
issues.
70, 30?
Partial birth abortions, you know, the 20-week abortion issue. Those have been killers for Democrats. You know, their desire to kill children at a very young age is just unacceptable. But that issue has moved people, Mitch. I mean, again, nobody likes
to
talk about it.
Well, kill children certainly is an inflammatory phrase.
Well, no, it's actually both legally, illegally and morally defined now in that case. But my point being is not to argue abortion. My point is compared to the 70s, where we are today, it's pretty clear that a vast majority of Americans now accept many pro-life tenets.
Probably because of the ultrasounds, right? I mean, the ultrasounds and the...
Medical, yes, 4D imagery.
By the way, I want to say for the record that I've never performed or sanctioned an abortion in my life. So I just want to get that disclaimer. I don't know why I felt the need to say that, actually. I mean, on the record... you know, I only had helped in the creation of two people, and they both were born. So there you have it.
There you go.
Now, should I be crusading on the weekends? I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure how much that... I don't really crusade anywhere on the weekends except, you know, on the golf course. But
well, Mitch, you know, even
if I do that,
even the death penalty, it's a pro-life issue, and people have come
a long
ways. Look at how many states used to have the death penalty that no longer have it or dramatically limit it. You know, again,
aren't you pro-death penalty?
I am actually pro-death penalty, yes.
Well, because that's ending a life.
That is correct.
It's not an innocent life anymore, but it's still a life.
Well, I would argue that once you decide to kill a police officer, a child, clearly, in those cases, your ability to be able to make rational judgments, your ability to be, and again, you know, we forget that.
You can be very rational and kill somebody.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, the problem is that, you know, we try to house these folks in prison and their life is over. And they are a danger to the people they're around in prison. They're
really?
A danger to the guard. Absolutely.
Mitch, they got out of their system, they're all
gone. Mitch, when you've got nothing to live for and you're never getting out, a lot of prison guards will tell you those are some of the most dangerous people you can ever be around because they just don't care.
You're describing me on a Thursday night watching watching cable. It's getting kind of close to home, Mike. I want to ask you because Donald Trump, two Republican senators, U.S., are leaving or not going to run again. Jeff Flake of Arizona and Bob Corker of Tennessee. And the mantra in the media, being CNN, MSNBC, I'm assuming the networks, I haven't seen those, are all saying that, you know, Trump is being attacked because he's uncivil and he's mean and he's a bully and he's a boorish guy, B-O-O.
Right.
And that enough's enough. That's what Flake said, enough's enough. They want civility. And to that, you say what?
Well, if it was about that, Mr. Flake should have said something 12 months ago. What it's really about is the man is down 28 points in the most recent polls in his home state. He was about to get his butt kicked out the door in a primary where it would have been overwhelming. And that is because he's wrong on the issues.
Well, he wrote a book before he quit. So.
Well, and it's not just that he's against Trump. Again, he's against the issues that Trump has taken to the forefront. So as we've talked about, Trump is
okay, so let me ask you before you finish. I'm sorry to interrupt. Because if he had been for all of Trump's issues and still said he doesn't like Trump's behavior, what would you have said then?
Mitch, Flake is one of those guys in the United States Senate when it was easy to vote in a conservative manner because they knew the policies would never pass, that's an easy vote to throw.
Yeah,
but what you're seeing now from Corker and Flake as we move closer and closer to some of this passing and now actually becoming the law of the land.
I know. So they're not
folks,
acceptable to the base.
Well, they're cowards.
They're
cowards, Mitch. They don't want to vote to make it happen.
Well, they want to quit before they face losing.
They're classical politicians. I'll take the easy vote as long as I know it can't become
law.
So
Jeff Flake can make all these wonderful statements, but he's not running again, so he's got nothing to lose.
Well, they're all for getting rid of Obamacare until they have the opportunity to actually make it law to get rid of it. And then, as we've seen that repulsed. Corker, classic example. Mr. I'm for tax cuts, but now that there's a tax cut package coming, he's looking to to derail it, which is interesting because I see today there's some questions now that he may have failed to report millions of dollars of income on his disclosure forms for Congress.
Corker?
Yeah, Corker. So, you know, what we're seeing.
Oh, Bob. Little Bob.
Yeah.
Little.
Yeah.
Now, that's our commander-in-chief calling him Little Bob Corker. And what did he say about Flake? Anything about Flake? You could have called him a flake.
I think he did. I think he made a joke about that.
Well, okay, so the media and those guys are calling attention to the fact that our president engages in language that other presidents of recent years have not done. You know, so people are saying enough's enough.
Well, again, liberals like to complain about words. Republicans want actions. And so, again, we're dealing, and these are liberal Republicans. These are guys who, again, now are proven when it's a chance to actually do something, they're running for the door because they're cowards.
And so we just say that about the never-Trumper Republicans, cowards too?
Yes.
Charlie Sykes?
They're afraid that that the policy planks that they were telling us are good now are going to become law, and they don't want to see it happen.
And they hide behind this being aghast at his behavior.
Complaining about the style, the
you
words,
think that's funny.
Political correctness. Oh, please, it's as phony as the day is long.
Well, can't you be for him on all the issues and not like the way he acts?
You know, Mitch, we used to be a society about actions and getting things done, not about words. Let's stop.
I'm asking if you could be for him on every issue and not like the way he acts. Is that possible?
I suppose it is, but why would that be? I don't really care how he acts. I care about what he gets done.